black eyes on white movies this week. Avatar, directed by James Cameron,
Yeah, Avatar.
starring Jake Sully.
Exactly.
What a name, like such a generic name. Jake Sully.
Yeah.
Just such a like a placeholder name. You know?
Yeah, I think every American, specifically in line with our podcast, like every kind of white American like hero has a name like that. It's like a single syllable name that starts with a J and then like a two syllable name. Jack
Yeah.
Bauer, Jake Sully, like
Yeah,
you
we
know what I
talked about this
mean? Like
before. It's always a
it's
Jack
so
or a
weird.
Jake.
A Jim, a James. It's very weird.
We had a list at one time. Yeah, James Bond, Jack Ryan. There's a
Jack Ryan, yeah,
bunch.
for sure. There's a bunch. Yeah, but Jake Sully, right in line with that.
Jake
Traditional,
Sully, yeah.
even.
Played by Sam Worthington, actually. Wait, that's the name?
Yeah, Sam Worthington. I had to look it up. I knew it was Sam something.
Yeah. So, man, Avatar is like the biggest movie ever, somehow. This movie boggles my mind, like where it exists. And we'll talk about the cultural stuff and we'll talk about the movie, but I don't really know how to place it or even how to get into the discussion. Like last week we did Karate, or last episode, whatever, we did Karate Kid. And that was like easy. It was exciting to talk about. I knew where to go. I even know kind of what place it holds in my head and culturally. Avatar is different. And in
But
this way,
even
it's different than almost every movie we've done.
yeah, and I was just gonna add, even to that Karate Kid, like we even talked about it afterwards. There was a bunch of stuff that we could have got into that we both kind of forgot or just didn't have time for. Like
Yeah.
it was very engaging in that way.
Yeah, my computer just died and we had to stop the pod, but there was so much more to go
We talked a
through.
bunch too, anyways.
With this one, I'm almost like, how much do we have to talk about it, even though it's a 3-hour movie?
I thought about that too. Like I also wonder here, and I think it's like, should I admit to this? But also I think it's important to ask, like, what is there to say that many other like reviewers, at least of color, like haven't kind of stated? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like the things are kind of, the movie is very obvious almost purposefully
Yeah.
or even purposefully.
Well, it's like, okay, the technology is like really the main thing with this movie. Always,
Sure.
that's what we're talking
Still looks
about.
good. Still looks good.
And I think at some point, James Cameron, the other filmmakers were like, this is so close to a cartoon that we just have to make it like a cartoon. Because when I look at the writing, it's like, oh, this is like a PG movie, the way the dialogue is. Even if they like cuss more or they're a little more adult, you know, it's a little harsher than a PG. Like how direct the dialogue is, it's like a direct-to-video animated action movie, you know? Very little, if any, nuance, you know, it's very much like the bad guys are super bad. They just are the worst version of whatever archetype they are. They have the worst,
Just
like,
immediately.
immediately, they have the worst ideals, the worst opinion about anybody else. And they just come off as slimy or gross or evil, like you said, immediately.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
made me think about Jim Cameron, James Cameron. I don't know the guy, Jim. James Cameron's
JC.
yeah, oh J Big J. But it made me think about Jim Cameron's like kind of career and like first off, the man makes a very accessible sci-fi film. Like he makes a very he's like that's one thing like he's known for. He's making good at making a very like
Oh my
accessible
God, yeah.
film, you know what I mean? Like they're all even regardless of quality, like there are some of his films that I really enjoy, but like doesn't
Wait,
matter
wait,
which one it
wait.
is.
Wait, wait, wait. Wait, wait, wait. He
It's all
makes a
collapsing.
very accessible sci-fi film.
He makes a very accessible
That's
sci-fi film.
incredible. That's made him the most successful filmmaker in history
Oh, sure.
by any, like, especially financial marker. Or maybe even I mean, he's like Titanic won a bunch of awards, and he consistently wins awards for like special effects or sound, a lot of these post-production categories. So he might even be the most decorated filmmaker ever. But you definitely don't go, he doesn't hold that place, you know what I mean? That like mythical place of
Sure.
like a Scorsese or even Spielberg or Kubrick or Spike Lee or Tarantino, where it's like, you know, people like, I love Terminator 2 as a movie, It's
Sure.
definitely one of my all-time favorite movies. But I probably am not getting into discourse with it like I am about, you know, some Tarantino movies or like Ocean's 11 or,
Sure.
you know, Star Wars, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like these movies that hold place. And I think Terminator is probably his most iconic film.
I mean, yeah, it's still being made 30 years later off of no story.
Right.
Like there's, anyways, that's
I
my
mean,
rant about Terminator is like it doesn't sustain a multi-universe story. Anyways.
right, yeah, that's for another time. But like, I mean, Titanic
Franchise talk.
was what it was, and it was like disaster movie part romance.
Romance, yeah.
But I guess in a way, it is a kind of a sci-fi movie, even though it was based on a true story. Like the
Yeah, I
scale and scope of it, like the tropes that it followed, the technology, yeah.
the technology almost makes it sci-fi. I definitely, you know, so I write a lot of sci-fi, fantasy, and history stuff, and I think we maybe even talked about this in the Gladiator thing. I definitely think the history falls somewhere in the space of sci-fi and fantasy because you have to engage your mind to imagine a world that doesn't exist anymore in kind of a similar way. So I think there's an argument there that, yeah, Titanic falls within some of that for sure.
It definitely is. Obviously, it's an anomaly in his career because it's almost everything else is sci-fi. Even
For sure.
like True Lies is like such an exaggeration of an action film, you know?
Yeah, it's like James Bond spy stuff, which is
She,
sci-fi.
the housewife is hanging from a helicopter at one point and
Yeah.
gets landed in a car. Like, what are we talking about?
I haven't seen that movie in a very long time, but if there's not at least one scene with a laser, I'd be surprised. So yeah,
Yeah, there's lasers all around.
it's not real.
So, but in this way, he's kind of like, we talk about writers sometimes, like Brandon Sanderson, or even like a James Patterson.
Yeah.
These prolific writers who are really like, they're the most successful writers writing, but
Absolutely.
they're not
Undoubtedly.
like getting the publicity or like the credit cred that a writer like Ta-Nehisi's getting, you know,
Yeah, for sure.
or whoever is like the intellectual writers or the like the more like,
Yeah.
I hate to use the word respected, but it is like an intellectual respect for some writers and for others. It's like the populace versus,
Sure, literary kind of Thomas Pynchon and like, you know what I mean? You can name a few of them, whether or not you've ever read them, you know what I mean?
some kind of historic context for that writing to be considered great or like, and there's, you know, part of that, like, you know, part of like the James Cameron discussion is like, okay, his movies are so, can be so entertaining. Even this movie, I think, I mean, it's the highest grossing movie ever. I think still is,
Yeah,
or
for sure. It's
maybe was passed by
entertaining.
the second one. I don't know. Or maybe Marvel passed it,
I think
but
Avengers might have got it at some point.
yeah. But like, and with all his movies, even Titanic, there is like, what is the emotional connection? You know, you kind of
Yeah.
leave his movies just like, man, that was crazy to see, but he does a good job. Like his stories are tight, you know, not loose threads.
Move
There's not
for sure.
things that don't make sense within that world, you know. It's like his structure, his storytelling is tight. It's just not, I don't think you leave his work feeling like that was so deep, you know, that touched me, that made me think about life or alter my view of things in a way. And I think that's maybe the distinction between like James Cameron and, you know, somebody leaving Scorsese, like Goodfellas or Casino, and being like, oh man, Sam Rothstein, bro, I know what that is like, you know?
Yeah, I
Definitely nobody
wonder.
left this movie like, I feel like I'm Jake Sully, bro, you know?
Yeah, Jake Sully, what a just a a very interesting character, and one especially to have come back to in a sequel like almost 15 years later. But I want to step back to kind of some of that, and I wonder, you know, like James Cameron, I mean, I think he comes off as a pretty broad personality. His movies seem to have a broad, you know, are very kind of broad in that way. But I wonder if, you know, there's so much like press for, especially for people kind of a little bit older in our age group. Like, there's always been so much press around his movies and like the technology it took to make them. And I wonder if that's kind of whether it is exploring in the ocean or creating a visual. I wonder if that's like the you know, million-dollar word, profundity, if that's like the depth that he's like reaching for, if it's something in that visual realm, you know what I mean? To, I think there's, I mean, this guy doesn't need my absolution, but I think there's definitely something that animates his filmmaking. And I feel like if it's not depth of story, it might be depth in that way. I don't know.
No, for sure, because that's his whole career.
Yeah.
That's the thing, and that became like part of his brand,
Absolutely. One of my
right? Like we
favorite.
go back.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. No,
Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, one of my favorite movies of his is still to this day, The Abyss,
yeah.
which is mo n not always everybody's favorite film of his. And I think there was like a director's cut and a different, a couple cuts out there or whatever. But like, that's one in which, like, it kind of is that. It's like, again, a very accessible sci-fi film, there's something with the technology, early CG that they created there that feels transcendent, even if the story's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and this is definitely what like would be most written about or studied in his career. Because even his first movie, this thing called, what happened to my headphones here? They kind of sound weird. But anyway, this first movie he did was something called Piranha 2, The Spawning.
I've heard that, yeah, I've never seen it.
And even that, because he worked for
Roger
a
Corman.
time as a special effects artist for Roger Corman. Then he was hired to do this movie, and it's in 78, but a big part of this is also the special effects, I guess, to make these piranhas. So it's just crazy, like
It's kind of a special effects guy.
to find a niche as like I'm gonna push what excites me as an artist is pushing technology forward in film.
Yeah.
And then, but also I'm a good storyteller or a person that knows how to translate complex ideas to the masses.
Yeah.
And
I would
so
definitely say so, yeah.
each film is successful enough that each next film can be bigger. And he
Definitely.
never has to join anybody else. Like he never joins a franchise, he never does another IP. He's
Yeah.
just like, I got an idea. And I wonder about his thought process. Is he like, and I think this was true a little bit for Avatar. He talked about it because before the first one came out, he was like, I've been working on this for 10 years, but we didn't have the technology to do it. So somewhere in his thoughts, the technology leads.
Yeah.
And then the story comes. And he's like, oh man, it'd be cool if we could do this. What story would work around that technology? You know what I mean? There's some connection in his brain that just most people don't think about like that. That has led to the career that he's had, which is like a bit. He's nobody talks. We talk about billionaires. He's got to be a billionaire.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what his net worth is, but it's got to be. He's one of the biggest and most successful people in Hollywood.
I would search it on the internet, but those net worth things, if you type that, those are lies. Those
Yeah,
are lies.
that's all wild.
One time it said I was worth some millions. I was like, what? Like, then I need to die and collect because I'm not worth it. I don't have that much. I don't have no money like that, bro.
Right, who
People will
didn't
always
tell
be in your
me?
pockets, like, and other people will look you up and be like, oh man, you got money, you could do this. I'm like, no, I do not. I do not. I don't know what you heard, but so if I look that up, it'll be like, James Cameron's got 80 million, 80 billion trillion dollars.
Right, exactly. No, I think it's interesting. that he is uber successful. Everybody kind of knows it. It's like almost so well known that you don't need to talk about it. And I think there is maybe a shallowness, and I'm not trying to say that in any sort of negative way, but I think there is like a shallowness of story that leaves a lot of his work open to critique, you know what I mean? And it kind of maybe does get lost in some of that or the spectacle, and not kind of talked about from like where is it touching kind of that artistic motivation and that creative
Yeah.
space, you know what I mean? But I think to your point, being led by the technology, I mean, you go back to, again, go back to The Abyss, one of his earliest movies. Like it's all been about exploring the sea, and even like his sci-fi stuff has been like a lot of like scuba and like submersible kind of technology and things like this, you know what I mean? So it is,
Yeah.
there's something that he is, there's like some thing that he's really in love with personally, but also like really ticks up his creative mind to like dig in here and say, what if?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because it's definitely different than how I think. Like, I think most people who we think of that would think like that are different kinds of artists and not filmmakers. And they're doing installations at MoMA, but and I think it makes it hard for him to place because he's not really that visible. He doesn't have like a lot of other things. He executive produced. He's not around. He's just like does his movie, makes $1 billion, and then somewhere he's working on the next one in a secluded desert somewhere where he built a whole facility, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he gets the most talk when a new Terminator project comes out, which he may or may not be actually
Even
attached
involved,
to. You know what I mean? He
yeah.
otherwise he's off, like you said, off on his own doing his thing.
So he spent all this time to make Avatar, and it comes out, and it's this new like digital technology, which is controversial in itself, right? It's like
Led the way in a lot of ways.
led the way.
Most
This
ways.
was 2009, so
Yeah, led the way.
Marvel had like just started. Marvel was still shooting on location when this came out. They weren't just at some studio in Atlanta. They were still like this was just after Iron Man.
Well, it's funny, just real quick. I mean, if you think about it, right? Like in Iron Man 2, you have like, or I think it's Iron Man, early Iron Man, you have like them hiring a different actor to do the young Howard Stark, right? The young and the old Howard Stark. After this movie comes out, there's no more of that. It's like anytime they do one of those flashback scenes, it's a digitally aged down person because they now have this technology.
Facts. And like and then something like the Irishman from Scorsese just exists because
Right. And
the
Tron
technology
Legacy,
exists.
gotta get that.
What they do on Tron? Did they de-age Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, Tron
Yeah.
Legacy was an early one too.
So the technology leads the way. The story, like, okay, the story in this movie rightfully got, you know, picked apart as like this kind of fake Pocahontas story or analogous to like the natives here in America, some of the native tribes and
It's definitely a settler
indigenous
story.
tribes. It's, yeah, settler story. But it's so like the problem for me is how unbelievable so much of it was. And even like as I watched it this time and then I came back to the Wikipedia to read through it, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief just to believe this story is true. So we'll go through the story a little bit, like just kind of like the plot, because there's really only like an hour and a half of movie to talk about, and then it's just action, just a big action scene. So we're in 2154. This is the year. Earth is in trouble.
Always.
So there's a huge military. Earth is, man, Earth can't get right, man.
Rough times for sure.
There's this huge mission, military mission, and scientific mission on another planet called Pandora, where we get, they have unobtainium. So all the names in this movie also are like lack the depth of like Star Trek, you know? Star Trek, like there was thought behind the names. This one, they're like unobtainium. You can't obtain it. Jake Sully. It just feels like, you know. the first thing that came to mind. And I know they did a lot of work like with the Na'vi and the language and everything later,
Sure.
but some of it also was just like very simple.
Yeah, Pandora. I wonder if there's going to be a potential threat there.
Yeah, I wonder if you visit it, if it's not quite how beautiful as it seems, it's a little more
Yeah.
dangerous.
Right.
But humans have figured out, so the indigenous people of Pandora or the Na'vi, who are like 10 foot tall, humanoid, blue,
Cat people.
cat people.
Very feline features for sure in the face.
For sure. And like their bodies, like portions are just like
Oh, kind of striped too. Yeah.
the Na'vis are pretty unsettling to me physically.
Yes. I definitely noticed that this time more than others too.
Like how skinny they are, and even their faces. It's just kind of an alien face that we're used to in a way, but it's just like I don't love it. But humans have figured out a way to use some human DNA into an avatar of a Na'vi so that like your consciousness can be inside a Na'vi avatar body.
Yeah.
That because humans can't live on that land. We can't
Yeah.
breathe in that air. So these avatars can, and that's how humans are kind of interacting with them or trying to. But really, like to break it down, boil it down, it's like humans want the unobtainium. Eventually, they're going to do whatever it takes to get it.
Sure.
So Jake Sully is not even involved in this, but he was a Marine. He has a twin brother who was like a scientist or something who dies. So he can take his brother's place as a Na'vi avatar to help them like learn about the people and stuff. So it's kind of like convoluted, but it also follows a logic when you watch it.
Definitely. And I think, again, it's all that kind of accessible stuff. Like, why would this kind of every man, guy's guy,
Yeah.
Marine get a chance to do this? Because he had this. And what gives him motivation? Well, he doesn't have legs, and now he'll have a chance to have legs.
Yeah,
You know,
he'll
it's
have
very,
a
it's
body
by the
even
numbers.
more amazing than he could have ever
Yeah.
imagined. It's a Na'vi body. He can run and jump and like they're 10 feet tall and like amazing athletic prowess. They're
For sure.
incredible.
Yeah.
He can climb trees and jump from tree to tree, and he has this long hair tail thing, and he can fall in love with one of them. We couldn't do that as a cripple on Earth. That's what they want you to think in this movie. His
Yeah,
life was
for
over
sure.
because he was in a wheelchair.
It's I thought that was interesting too, even in the beginning, where it's like, and look, you know, as somebody without a disability, or a visible disability like that, I mean, it's dangerous waters you tread on, but like, even that beginning, like where he's like, you know, I could have got legs, but, or I could have got my legs fixed, but, you know, not on a GI Bill or VA
Right.
benefits or whatever. And it's like, I get it's kind of like this, it's like these very broad critiques of American society, right? You
Very
know what I
broad.
mean? That,
We're and it's
yeah.
150 years in the future. We've made no event like everything else is technologically advanced, and he's still in like a push wheelchair.
Yeah, and even that, like his only, like you said, his only chance to have a happy life, or that was his other option, was that he could have his legs repaired in some expensive operation rather than like finding some other. It's just, yeah, so broad.
It feels icky. I can see the
It
face
feel
you made.
if
I was like, yeah, I feel that too.
there's a lot of this movie that just so many of these things about this movie and the motivations of characters did like, and it's not the first time I've seen this movie and like felt this, but they do feel a little icky, man.
Yeah. Like the whole relationship with Neytiri, I'm just never gonna really be on board for that, bro.
It's creepy.
And like, so we're kind of into the cultural stuff already, because like the rest of the movie, so he's an avatar, he gets separated from the group, Neytiri saves him, And he kind of keeps running into her, and then he kind of goes with her and meets the group, and they don't like him because they know who he is. He's really a human. But they also, but she's like, he can help us. So he becomes part of their family, their group, and he's helping them. Then they decide that they're going to take the Unobtainium by force, so he has to choose who to fight for. They think he's a traitor, and then he proves his worth, and he gets the animal to like him, and
Then
okay.
he's the best Na'vi that ever
Then
lives.
he's the best. He just became one, but he gets it so
Yeah.
easily, and he's,
He's
you
the
know.
prophesied leader and everything. Like,
And they're trying to fight with bows and arrows, and he's like, these people have guns. You can't beat them with bows and arrows. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
why? And the humans have been there for a while. Why wouldn't they? I didn't understand the first time I watched it. I'm like, why are they fighting with bows and arrows and like flying living creatures? And the humans have a big ship. Like, they didn't try to steal no ships or nothing. They had to have another option, is I guess what it.
Yeah.
It seems like they were purposely. And this goes to like, whew. Well, James Cameron said some crazy stuff when the second one came out about like, oh, the natives should, the indigenous people should have fought harder. He said something like that.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even aware of that. Wow.
Yeah, man. So this is like what he thinks about the relations between indigenous people and European settlers in America and how this country was formed. He thinks the settlers
Yeah.
came over with guns and overpowered the people that lived here, and that the most powerful people won. And
Yeah.
we don't have to get into all of American history right now, but that is not what happened.
That is patently false. Yeah.
But this is the message, you know, black eyes on white movies. What is the cultural message that Avatar is saying? And it's saying like the super powerful, maybe they were a little greedy, like the military general and
Yeah.
my guy.
Giancarlo? Or
No,
no, Giovanni?
Giovanni. Yeah, my guy
Yeah.
Giovanni was just slimy. He's a good actor. I like him, but he was
Oh yeah,
so
Giovanni's very
slimy in
good.
this movie.
So slimy.
He's like, yeah, maybe some of them were like that, but you know, we also had good ones like Jake Sully who tried to help the natives, but you just can't overpower European might. It's like, no mention
Yeah.
of disease that was brought off, no mention of anything else
Right.
that led to the America we know today. You know, no mention of just
No
anything
mention.
else. It's just like they were more powerful and smarter.
No mention of centuries of continuous victories and defeats in keeping an advancing nation, and I mean like geographically advancing, invading a nation at bay for literally hundreds of years. Like so much of that is looked over.
No mention of how something like, I don't know, slavery, because it wasn't
Yeah.
like America became America and it was like the natives are gone. It was still stuff was going on all through the 1800s, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
But it's a lot easier to fight when
today.
you don't have to take care of your homestead, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in video game terms, here's something I thought of in video game terms. They had an off-site spawning location.
Yeah.
Like more people could, like you were just saying, more people could come from different European countries or any country to America.
Yeah.
So there was always like a new round of invasion. But indigenous people were being born here. So when
Right.
their something hit their tribe, it hit the elders to the babies. You know what I mean?
Right.
If something hit the European settlers, it might just hit this round. Then the next ones come. Then the French
Right.
come. Then the Portuguese come. Then, you know what I mean? The Spaniards come.
I never thought about it, especially in that video game context, but it makes sense that off that spawning site, that's which I don't know, also is a weird terminology, even
Totally. Totally. It is
like.
strange and it's weird to think about it like that. I think I was playing like Civilization when I first thought of that. I was like, hold on. If we can just keep having people born and coming over from over here,
Right.
but there's an element of that in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's very disturbing to me in this movie, actually. Like, you know, yeah.
It's taken for granted. All of the actions in this movie are taken for granted. It's and you know, that's kind of what we talk about right here. It's Like, what do stories say about society and the individuals? Like, we've already talked about James Cameron, but what does it say about society, right? And like this idea that like this is just how it goes, right?
Right.
And again, you make it accessible. You tell people a story that they've seen before. I get that, but like, and you tell it to them in a version that they've seen before, right? It's the version that we see in like 50s Western movies or something.
Right. And it's a
But you
version
know,
for kids.
and it's a version for kids, right? It's again, like you said, Pocahontas, all of that. But yeah, like just yeah, it is interesting to see what like this story says about society, about like that this is just how it goes, that these that people with technology take advantage of those who don't, and you know what I mean? And even Jake Sully is like this kind of Western belief that just like individual good can somehow make up for any of this stuff, you know what I mean? Or
Yeah.
it's just about people to choose, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
It's very strange.
And also the whole Jake Sully of it, right, is the the outsider has to come in. A people can't be saved unless an outsider comes in, and the outsider has to be like from the culture that's invading. And I think that's a nice way to put like that it's a white savior trope, right?
Yeah, I think that's a very gracious way of putting it. And the other thing that since we're talking about some of these things, and I think another thing about this that really icks me out, and is like it's kind of sci-fi. Oh, what's the Daniel Kaluuya movie, Jordan Peele?
Get out.
It's kind of a sci-fi Get Out, like you know what I'm saying? Like these, because all of the hero characters, even though you see like 20 of these avatars training, you never see any of the pilots, the avatar drivers who are not these like three white characters, right? I don't
Right.
think so. So like it's kind of these white characters who get to respawn themselves into like these native peoples whose bodies are like kind of all every stereotype you've ever heard, right? Like they're
Yeah.
big and they're beautiful and they're thin and they're athletic and they can, like you said, do amazing things, and they've all got dreadlocks and braids, and it's like
Yeah.
it is kind of all of these sort of movies, right? The Dances with Wolves, quality made film, you know what I mean? The Last Samurai, again, quality made film, but these storylines of like this kind of European white savior trope where like they become accepted by the other people that they're had been invading but are now on the side of because they're good people.
Yeah.
They want to become these people. And this movie literally allows that to happen in this kind of weird,
Literally.
creepy Get Out sort of way.
Man, this movie is evil.
It's wild, you know what I mean? And again, like we talked in the beginning, about all of the great things going on with James Cameron and some of his artistic process, but I don't think you cannot talk about this stuff too. It's very
It's funny to bring up, not funny, but you bring up Dances with Wolves, and it is like these are the most, when you hear like a white kid, right? Or like teenager, I don't know, and ask them about America, maybe 13 or something, and they're like, have a very simplistic view of it, right? Just as, I'm just hypothetical. Then they grow up to become Kevin Costner and James Cameron, They
Sure.
never get corrected. They never have to read a book that has a differing point of view, then they get good jobs and then they become filmmakers or actors. And so they're making the movies that tell the stories. And then,
Absolutely.
maybe James Cameron does this interview and he's like, maybe the, indigenous people should have fought harder, and people come after him because this is the social media era. This is like, said when the second one came out. So maybe just that, just before COVID or in COVID. Anyway.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And maybe that makes him, you're like, what are these people talking about? But now he's so rich and powerful, there's no message that can get through. He's not gonna like, oh man, I've been studying, like these people were right, I was wrong, I read all these books and
Yeah.
had councils with, the the tribes, you know, the tribes in California and stuff, and my eyes are open. It's too late. He's 70 years old, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And he's like you said, he's a billionaire. He's far too insulated to ever
Yeah.
have external opinion penetrate that bubble unless it was something incredibly one-off.
So he's telling these stories, and now, like, it's actually interesting that before Avatar, his stories were more adult. Well, actually, before Titanic, right? Like the Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2, those are like for adults. So he's putting his worldview out for adults. Then he does True Lies, and True Lies is a broad family pick. So his worldview is now coming, infiltrating
Yeah.
a broader section of people. And True Lies has its own problems with this depiction of terrorists and terrorism.
Oh, for sure. That
And
was apparent 20 years ago, or like before any of this. Yeah.
then he does Titanic, and now he's like, that's for young girls, really. Maybe everybody saw it, but the biggest fans of Titanic at the time were
Yeah,
prepubescent
teenagers.
girls, you know?
Yeah, even yeah, prepubescent teenage is for sure.
And now he does Avatar. He's the biggest movies ever, and it's like, this is. He's in the comic book era, you know, and it's everybody, and kids and adults are like, you know, everybody's watching this stuff now.
For
So
sure.
it's strange. It's really strange. And also because, like, Avatar, we could talk about it and have our feelings about it, but before this podcast and after it's over, I won't think about it again.
Right.
Like, it's egregious in a lot of things, but it doesn't bring up any passion, you know?
Yeah,
And then
definitely.
I wonder too, because there's a fan base for Avatar. I've seen like people
True.
at the cons, comic cons, in Avatar costumes. And I think it's just because it's cool to dress up as a Na'vi. That's like,
It's a great design.
it's a, you know, for a cosplay, it's elaborate, it's gonna stand out.
For
It's
sure.
but then I was wondering before we got on the pod, why doesn't this have like a real fandom?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't tackle anything deep, and the lore and mythology of it just doesn't really have that. Maybe it wants to, but it just
Yeah.
doesn't, though. Like, there's nothing really magical or mystical that happens. There's nothing that questions, like, God or our existence.
Yeah.
And you need something like that. Like, that's what the Force is. It's like, man, what is connecting us in this world? And they have the hair thing, but it's like that's what it is. The hair connects, and
Yeah.
that's how they connect with animals and have sex. Very surface. And I do
Yeah.
think that James Cameron thought, and I'm sure in his bubble, he's like, oh, we're the biggest franchise in the world, and people love it, and we have, you know, people devoted websites and stuff to it. But you're not Star Wars, and you're not Star Trek, and you're not
Yeah.
Marvel. Or DC,
Yeah.
you're not Batman. You just aren't these things.
Yeah, I feel like we've not maybe not online, but I felt like we had this conversation a while back, and I think there are just some of these big things, and I think Avatar is a great one or a great example of one that yeah, they're huge, and people will go see it, but yeah, it doesn't connect on that deeper cultural level that like inspires people to like want to be in it all the time. Of course, there are fans. I'm sure there's somebody who is sitting in their living room dressed up as a Na'vi right now because they just like it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I'm sure there's that person, but like you said, yeah, it's not Star Wars, it's not Star Trek, it's not any of these kind of big fandoms. I would argue that Sherlock Holmes has a kind of a bigger fandom.
I
You
mean,
know what I
yeah, the
mean?
history of Sherlock, like if you're just saying Sherlock as a character, nah,
You know,
100%.
you can bring up 20 people playing that character, and people will be like, and people have like a bigger like cultural impact or connection.
I mean, if I was making this movie and wanted it to be like that, like a quarter of the Na'vi would have a magical power that could rival human guns. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't be all like nature and then the animals have to come and save them at the end. They'd be like, I got some, I'm in human brains. I'm like telepathic. And somebody else would be like, I can shoot fire, or maybe they all had the same power. I don't know, but you got to have like, But they're connected to like, because we're in space now.
Yeah.
You might as well like have something that makes people, because nobody's at home like, man, I want to be like Neytiri. But people are at home like, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm Princess Leia, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's like, I'm Jake Sully. Big dumb Marine, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
even how they play him as a dumb Marine, I'm like, if you ask, they ask him, he's narrating at the beginning, he's like, they put us in these avatar things. I'm like, if you ask a Marine about something they're doing, they do not hem and haw.
Oh.
They're not like, this is dumb thing. They're like, so technical and inside, you got to get them
For
to slow down.
sure.
You know what I mean? No matter how like of a meathead they might seem otherwise, if you ask them about work,
Yeah,
they're
they're
freaking Bill Gates, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. That's always one thing that's interesting about the way that military, there's a use of soldiers in stories for kind of the credibility of being able to like do action, but then they're so often like the
And
big dumb jock, or
they
you know
try
what I
to make him
mean?
like the average guy. He's just like the muscle, but not if you not with some of these
Highly
military titles,
technical.
man. These are like a lot of times it's like elite special forces in movies. I'm like, these are smart dudes, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Even if you just had a kind of a mechanical job in the military, like those folks know that stuff in and out because that's the job, you know what I mean? So there is like a flippancy that doesn't even kind of, again, it's all the tropes of things that you've seen before, you know what I mean? I think it's the interesting that you say, you know, kind of like the powers piece of it, because I do think that there is not really a reason for them to have the avatars, right? Like they're like, oh, we're still fighting these Na'vi, but it's like there's no like reason that, like you said, like maybe even they could have telepathy or one of those things. It's like there's no reason that they're like doing this thing. There's no equal and opposite force, you know what I mean, on the other side of the story, you know what I mean? So that would have been interesting. I think there's a lot of things you can have done. I think you could have cast the lead role as a actor of color and opened up a subtext that at least would have like been something to talk about. You know what I mean? There's a lot here that's
Or
missed.
have some novies or understood that they needed the humans too. So
Yeah,
they put
like
a Na'vi in a human
mix it up.
avatar, you know? And it's like,
Yeah, you would think you would see that.
this is scientist Judisu or whatever, because they try to take Asian native from all over America, like lands. It's like, it's funny when white people do like sci-fi stuff a lot of times and the names are like, clearly they took like Hawaiian inspiration. Or
Yeah, like
African inspiration,
it's just a culture.
but they're never like Bobinski. It's like, well, why couldn't aliens be, or have Kostas? Why couldn't they be Greeks?
Yeah. Czechs, you
Or
know.
Augustus or Octavius, like
Yeah.
names like anything. It's like, no. It's always, if they're an indigenous people, it's got to be kind of African or like Hawaiian or an Asian, like Filipino or something. It's like, but no, it's
Right.
another planet. It can be anything. You don't
It
have to
can be
have all these
anything.
apostrophes to prove you're a good person because you thought about a different indigenous people than your own. You know, you could just
That
pull
could.
straight from your culture. You could be like, oh yeah, these are what's the king's name? George. It's a different. They had the same name as you. They didn't have to be king. Whatever. That just
No,
trips me out with sci-fi.
I get that, and it's almost always those fake fictional cultures are replicating real life cultures that have also been victimized, and they're playing the role of the victim in the story, right?
They never go deep enough in it. Oh man, I wish I remember what I was thinking about this recently. But anyway, we'll come back to it. Or
Yeah.
I think we pretty much stated what we're
Yeah, I
talking
think.
about. But yeah, they'll map an indigenous culture or a culture that they don't know, but they won't cover enough. but to really, it's just so surface. It's so surface.
It's so surface. Again, like you said, it could be kind of like any smattering of brown people or
Yeah.
non-white people, you
And
know, non-European people.
it's usually a combination of multiple ones, which is,
Yeah.
questionable and offensive in its own way, I guess. If
Yeah.
you don't like really break it down, like that's the great thing about Star Trek is like something could seem on the surface, but by the end of the episode, you were like, knew that those people's histories, how they got to this point, why they were mad at so and so. It was like
Yeah.
so paced out that it all made sense.
And there was almost always, at least in the best episodes of something like Star Trek, a point where there was just like a little narrative turn
Yeah.
that made you go,
Oh yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, I see what you're doing. You know what I
Nobody's
mean?
just good or bad. It's just complicated, and everybody's trying to, you could analyze it this way. But this one, where everybody's so comically bad, there's no, even the idea that like we're trying to save Earth, but we never are on Earth or see Earth or communicate with Earth, and the bad guys are so bad, like you could connect it to Earth and the Unobtainium. Even in a hacky way of like, oh, Sigourney Weaver's daughter's character is on Earth and dying if they don't get Unobtainium and figure out how that can be used, you know what I mean?
Lot of missed opportunities. I gotta, I don't know if I have to, but I also like really, I think it was uncomfortable at the time. Every time I've seen this movie, it's more so like the whole like tail sex interface thing. Like it's very, especially like there's a couple of times where like, you have to like master an animal or something like that. And it's like, wait, that's the same appendage. I don't like where this is going. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, again, it's so broad that it does not, I don't think it really stops to think about the things that it's touching on or the implications that are there. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And I don't even need to
Like, what did
make
it
that
bring
note.
up? What did it bring up for you again?
I mean, I feel like if those appendages are what they have sex with, then like anytime like somebody had to like kind of force an animal into like submission so that they could
Oh, yeah.
ride, you know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
that,
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
yeah.
The
Oh.
implications are wild there, you know what I mean?
Oh, my
So
goodness. Yeah.
again, it's I don't want to keep critiquing the movie and like for what its faults are, but there are a lot of things about this movie, again, talking about story and society that just don't. There's not a pause. They don't stop at the stop sign to really like examine all four
Yeah.
crossing points. You
Well,
know what I mean?
and I think they thought that that was like oh man, this neural import, this neural network is
Yeah.
like, that's the thing. That's the thing. But it just is not. It's just not. It's just not.
Yeah.
And like, if they connected with that and it was just a mental connection, that maybe is better than it having to be so tied to sex, really.
Intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think there were definitely some different ways to possibly have done that.
Yeah.
Lot to talk about in this one.
A couple times my brain, yeah, we were the first like, I don't know what we're gonna say. And now we're like, man, this movie.
Lot of frustrations for sure.
And just to only to hit on the second one just for a second, I don't want to get into it, but the fact that like Jake Sully is a he's just a Na'vi in the second one, and he's reproduced with her, like an avatar or android body doesn't need to produce life material. If you like, if we if like Jake Sully on Earth, they were like, we can put you in a different body, a human that the human body. It doesn't need to produce semen.
Right, yeah.
So that's also a choice that they made for him to be able to be in an avatar body and that body be able to reproduce with an actual Na'vi. That's
Yeah.
crazy. And for it not to be like discussed anywhere, it's just like second movie, they got three kids. It's all good. What? What was the experiment there? Somebody has to be like, it fucking worked. Humans can just, we could just
We could just be Navi now.
Yeah, like why are they even trying to get unobtainium anymore? Just
I
put
didn't see
everybody in
this.
that avatar and like go reproduce. Just be like, oh, we're also Navis. We just ain't met y'all yet. We're from another part. So, man, y'all sexy. We sexy. Let's be sexy, dog. That's a whole different kind of infiltration, you know?
No, that's crazy though. But I didn't see the second one. But it is a great point. Like the fact that it's possible for Jake really opens up the idea that it's possible for any human being. So like that really probably should have become like the thing rather than like unobtainium or just they beat us once, so we have to go back. Like
Yeah.
there should have been a lot of human beings who were all of a sudden these new Na'vi from up the coast, you know,
Yeah.
that you'd never run into before.
Super sexual Na'vi, like just trying to seduce and like get pregnant.
It's like, yeah, it makes it the ultimate vacation, right? Even like Sigourney Weaver's, she had the wish, she had like the vacation braids and
Yeah.
on her like
Oh my
Avatar
God.
Navi.
Oh man, I will just kind of wish that like they have been forced to have some kind of consulting and forced to like listen to in the construction of this story. Because for him to be like, man, we're working on this for 10 years, it's like, oh, you were just working on the technology for 10 years. You wrote the script in like 6 months and was like, this is it. And
Got
nobody can see it until we shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Wild.
it's funny because like people can talk about the movie, we can talk about it, and we can say, Miss Mark here. What does it matter?
It's the
It's one of
hugest
the
movie
10
ever.
highest grossing movies of all time. Made $2.9 billion. Sorry, I have an opinion. It doesn't matter. The shit
Yeah,
was
for sure.
successful.
This is just an exercise and you know what I mean? Like
Yeah, what
it's
is.
and it's going to be successful, right? They're going to do a third one, you know?
They got five of them.
Oh yeah, he keeps talking. I just here's this is a thing,
The
and
second
look,
one made $2.3 billion. A
oh,
little
it's
less,
over.
but I mean,
It's over. Yeah.
the next
We
one's gonna make $2 billion also.
we're going to be in Avatar movies until we're in the grave.
Until 2031. And what's also crazy, this is crazy. I don't know if you saw this yet, but like they're copying Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like the
No.
first one, this one was I think they were saying this one was Earth. The second one was The Way of the
Oh,
Water.
water.
The
Yeah.
fourth one is fire and ash. Third one is fire and ash. The fourth one's got to be about air, I'm
Got
sure.
to.
And
You
then the
got to go
fifth one
air.
is like, they probably lose the avatars. It's like something from The Legend of Korra. So also like, it's funny for something that's on the surface, if you were presenting, seems so creative. To where the more you talk about it, it seems less and less. But of
Yeah.
course, like. I feel like, okay, maybe I could come up with a story that could rival Avatar, or people might like it better. But I couldn't execute like James Cameron. I couldn't f mess with the technology like he did. I'm not even, I could definitely not think of the technology the way he does.
Sure, or secure the funding.
So he's kind of like a carnival attraction. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying
No,
to.
this it's like a Barnum and Bailey, like a
It
and
is.
like respectfully, like seriously.
It's like, come see this
The attraction.
spectacle. You know, even in Terminator 2, which still, like I said, my favorite James Cameron. Abyss I like too, and that was like, but they're all like, come see the new thing.
Yeah.
This is the thing you're gonna see for the next 10 years. Not only is he doing it first, but honestly, he's doing it better than most of the derivatives will be for the next 10, 15
10
years.
years. Yeah.
It's like, come see, or sports. It's like, come see LeBron, come see Steph Curry, he's the best because he shoots from 40 feet out. This is the spectacle you're paying for. Where, yeah, with other filmmakers, like if you look at like Dave Eggers, it's like, come see something creepy and
Yeah.
like isolating. You know what I mean? It's gonna make you like really in your like Hemingway bag. And if you go see like what's some other stuff that's out, you know? Everything is marketed away, you know?
For sure.
So it could be fun, it could be the spectacle, it could be the comedy, it could be the heart. Like, oh, you know, Tyler Perry is a spectacle. Come and see some outlandish black stuff
Right.
that is also relatable and has a heart, you know? Yeah, some of the stuff you may be like, oh, this is exploitative, or this is We don't like this, we don't like that. But the spectacle is big enough that enough people are going to keep seeing it. And the spectacle with James Cameron is on a billion-dollar level, like it or not.
Absolutely. It's like the thing I heard you talked about before, not needing to see any more movies from 80-year-old directors, right? And like the Ridley
Oh,
Scotts and the Scorseses and all that stuff. But at the same time, to your point, right? Like, you know what you're gonna get with them. It's gonna be an well, both of those cases, it's gonna be an epic in some way. You know what I mean? But like, it very much is that he has a brand. He's success. James Cameron's. He's got a brand. He successfully lived up to it and marketed it for a long time now. I think we talked about this maybe once in a franchise talk about Zack Snyder, and something strikes me about James Cameron that's similar to like Zack Snyder for me, which is like the visuals are amazing. You cannot take that away. God, I'd love it if they did something else. Like I. There's like I could see that craftsmanship turned in towards something really great, and I'd love to see that.
Because, it's like if they could just do the visuals, if somebody else do the writing, somebody else direct.
When
No
you've been writing your
disrespect.
own script, no, but when you've been
And
writing your
it's,
own scripts for a long time, I'm sure it's hard to give that up, but.
well, it's funny because even saying that, it's like, well, then are you making a product that makes less money?
Yeah.
Like, because he has something that makes the most money. And I
Right.
don't know if a deeper story makes as much money. I don't know if
Yeah,
a shorter
fair.
movie with slightly less effects, but just as well done, makes as much money. So it's just crazy. And it's like, what conversations are people in, and where do they live in our like head or the cultural, in the zeitgeist or whatever? And like I said, James Cameron has good and bad reviews every movie. He's not losing any sleep.
Yeah.
Because pretentious film students are like, I mean, scoffing at his movies, like, not when 10, 11-year-old kids and 7-year-old kids are like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like,
For sure.
that's what you make the
Like we
movie
were,
for.
like we were when we saw T2 or whatever.
Back in the day, yeah,
Back
exactly,
in the day, for sure. So, yeah.
Or like all the 13, 14-year-old girls that saw Titanic multiple times.
For
Crying at the
sure.
movie, like it's made for them. It's not made for the 23-year-old intellectual, or even as things go down in history. I think this is part of it, right? We look at like things that through history have to last and be like they're part of the human spirit. So like Shakespeare, and like that's tragedy and drama that you can sink your teeth into, and like these classical works and things. But a lot of that is just like how we've come to identify these things over time.
Right, for
I think
sure.
a lot of things that have stood the test of time actually were maybe pop art in their time.
Oh, for sure.
But now we're
Absolutely.
like,
For
oh, it's so
Shakespeare.
deep and well written. It's so, but like a lot of the little stuff was James Cameron or Tyler Perry of the time. And
For
there's some
sure.
great works, I'm sure, that really like are emotional and question our existence and the meaning of life that haven't survived or not. Don't have a that place in our cultural memory,
Yeah, for sure. There's probably some, you used Shakespeare. So, like, there's probably somebody who was at the s similar time writing plays in England as Shakespeare who's just as good, if not better. But, you can only find their volume of their work in the back of like a reference library in Oxford, England, or something like that. You know what I mean?
But if you found it and read it, you'd be like, oh my God, this is incredible. Man, maybe Shakespeare was actually the Tyler Perry of his time. You know what I mean? And this other
Yeah.
guy is, the Ta-Nehisi of his time, but nobody knows him. And so I think we try to gatekeep what's going to last. But at the end of the day, dollars speak, the public speaks, and I think everybody has their unique idea of what should last or what should be considered great. And I think we're in an era now, with especially with social media, where everybody can put their opinion forth. Like, the old the old guard will say, oh, Marvel superhero movies can't be these good movies. They're just fun and entertainment. And now younger generation is like, well, why isn't this movie considered great? Like, what is the criteria exactly?
Exactly.
So it's changing now how we gatekeep, you know, what's good and what's going to be great and what's going to be remembered. But saying that it's changing, I'm also saying like maybe we don't really do the research or understand what it was at the time for other things that we consider great. Like, I'm not going back and reading like firsthand journals and newspaper articles about people that read the first Sherlock Holmes or people that went and saw Shakespeare. I don't really know what people thought at the time of it, you know?
Right.
I just know for any plethora of reasons, it's lasted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know that Avatar is going to be that, but it'd be really interesting if it is.
And it's like now we remember everything. So Avatar is not, you know, it's going to exist longer than something from the 1500s. There's way more
For
copies
sure.
of it, more just people have seen it, like, and it's just going to exist like digitally and be reproduced in a way that nothing except like the Bible has. But it's not just Avatar, it's like every Marvel movie exists more than anything except a Bible or Quran, you know what I mean? And even stuff that's like $15 million budget thriller exists more than anything that existed before our time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just one of those things. I think that it's something that's gonna either be here or not. You know, I think that's a really interesting question. Some of these things where it's like we think like, oh, we've got so much more of it. And I do, it does make me wonder, it's a big question, it's too big to open up right now, but it does make me wonder is like, are all of these things just because they're all saved on a hard drive somewhere? Like,
Yeah.
will people 500 years from now have any other, like, will they have any different problem than we have with
Yeah.
that? You know what I mean?
And will they care? And I think it's just the last question, or not even last question, but the last statement is like, yeah, what is humanity? What do we care about? What do we want to represent us? And we have no idea right now because there's so many opinions flying. So.
Yeah. Man, Avatar, lot to talk about.
Deep movie, super deep, one of the deepest movies ever made, and man, they did it again. All right, man, there's no real need for casting because everybody's an avatar, so anybody could do it.
Yeah, as many I'd like to cast a bunch of Na'vi actors if we can find
Yeah, native Na'vi actors as the
them.
humans to be Na'vis. All
Yes.
right, man, I'll holler at you soon.